Genesis 25. And we're going to go here again. And see what God has for us tonight. The Bible says in verse number 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Verse 12. Am I not in the right place? No? Oh, sorry. These sweet dear folks in front of me told me I was in the wrong place, and I didn't want to disregard their statements. Are we right? Genesis 25, verse number 12. Read. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, and Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Abdiel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, and Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns, and by their castles, 12 princes, according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. That's an interesting ringtone. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Use the word of God as you have time and time again. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Upon arriving at Genesis 25, we are literally watching Abraham in his last days on earth. These verses in chapter 25 are going to represent 35 years at the end of Abraham's life. For the 140 years, or at least when he entered the scene in Genesis, we've watched him full of details, full of wonderful occasions. We've watched him in his ups, his downs, his all arounds. We've watched him as a husband, as a father, as an uncle, as a leader, as a warrior, as a hero. We've watched him learn to walk by faith. And by the way, a long life's journey will never stop learning to walk by faith. And so we're watching him. You kind of get engaged in the life of Abraham, and it feels like it's never going to end. Every time we turn the page in our Bibles and we go to another stage in Abraham's life, we're thinking, what next? What's he going to do now? What's God going to do for him this time? Which way will the story turn at this incident? And yet, after all of those details in the life of this great Bible character, we're coming to the end. The last 35 years of his life are not represented by a lot of scripture, and yet there was still more for God to do. He found a wife. He had 6 more kids. He established how he wanted his kids to be treated before he was gone. He set things in motion. He honored all his children. He highlighted Isaac as being the promise and the covenant child. And then when God was done with him, he gave up the ghost. He didn't fight death. He didn't fear death. He faced death with a great embrace, because he understood that when God was done, There was no reason for him to stay. And by the way, when God's done, there's no reason to stay. So we call that now what? Reminding all of us as Christians that the late stages, the stalled stages, the less impressive stages, the ones that don't seem to be filled with a lot of details, more or less a lot of promise, never count out God. Never think God's done. Never settle for it being the end until God says it's the end. Maybe you're here tonight and thinking it's over. It feels over. It seems like it's over. It's logically over. It ain't over till God says it's over. He gave up the ghost. He was honored by his children. They came together. They buried him in an appropriate way. In a field he'd purchased for Sarah. He'd buried her there. Now they'd bury him there right beside her. They honored him. They put their differences aside. They came together as brothers to honor their father. And God was pleased. We are literally watching the end of a man that God used in a great way. And yet Genesis keeps on going. Abraham has given up the ghost. Abraham's no longer here. For as long as we can remember, we've been preaching through Genesis and talking about Abraham. What are we going to do now that the main character is dead? Therein lies the mistake. Never in the Bible is a human being the main character. Well, we've been talking about him. Yeah, we've been talking about him. But the truth of the matter is, what we've been saying about Abraham is never the work of Abraham. It is the work of God through Abraham. The truth of the matter is, the main character of the Bible is not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob, not Paul, not Peter, not James, not John. God's the main character. Jesus is the main character. The work of God is the main activity. And God is never looking for somebody to do the work. He's looking for somebody through whom he can do the work. So tonight I've entitled this next section, "The Show Must Go On." The show must go on. What are we going to do now? Abraham's dead. Yeah, but we're going somewhere. I said we're going somewhere. I mean, what did God really use Abraham for? What did God really use Noah for? What did God really give them Isaac for? What did God really bless Isaac for? Why did God stop Abraham from driving that sword through Isaac? Why was that ram caught in the thicket? Where are we going? You know your Bible where we're going. We're chasing the Messiah. We've got Jesus that's got to come. There's a ram. There's a lamb. There's a Isaac. There's a Jacob. But bigger than all of that, there's a Savior who's going to come to take away the sins of the world. That's why it doesn't stop with Genesis. And that's why we're going to get to Revelation. And one day we're going to lift up our eyes and behold, for our redemption draweth nigh. It's never over with somebody. Why? Because it's always all about Jesus. The show must go on. If you're taking notes tonight, write this thing down, if you would, the continued prosperity. Now look at verse 11. In 10, he's buried with Sarah, his wife. Verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham. Abraham's death had to, for Isaac, become a past event. It happened. Now listen to me. It's not real deep, but it is deep. Sometimes you can't go forward because you won't let something stay in the past. You can't change it. You can't fix it. You can't erase it. It happened. We've said oftentimes, it is what it is. How many times we've had things in our life that happened, we wish they didn't happen. We wish they wouldn't happen. We wish they even couldn't happen. And yet God allowed them to happen. The Bible says it came to pass after the death of Abraham. It had to be viewed as a past event. But I want you to notice the verse. The verse not only gives us, if you would, past event, but it also gives us present encouragement. It says, after the death of Abraham, verse 11, God blessed his son Isaac. Don't miss this in your Bible. Listen to me now. Abraham was dead, but God wasn't. Abraham was gone, but God wasn't. Abraham had left the scene, but God was still on the scene. And this is what Isaac began to discover rather quickly after the death of his father. God may be done with my father, but God is still working on me. Aren't you glad that life does not have to be defined by past events, but my friend, it can be demonstrative through present encouragement. Now watch this now, without a doubt. There were parts of Abraham's life that had happened before Isaac was on the scene that Abraham had rehearsed with his son. You don't think Abraham was told Isaac about the Ur of the Chaldees? You don't think Abraham told Isaac about that great covenant? You don't think Abraham told Isaac about that day God came to the house and said, you and your elder wife, that your wife are going to have a child, and Sarah laughed? You don't think Abraham told Isaac about that day when he was born? You don't think Abraham told Isaac about that mistake with Hagar and Ishmael? You don't think Abraham told Isaac about rescuing Lot? You don't think Abraham told Isaac about the deliverance of God? Without a doubt, Isaac grew up as a son that was very aware of the fact God blessed my daddy. But now that daddy was gone, God had something fresh, something new, something now to show Isaac that I'm not just the God that blessed your daddy. I'm the God that wants to bless you. If we're not careful, we will begin to formulate in our minds that the work of God ends with the death of individuals. There's great learning in this passage of scripture through past events and present encouragement. Number one, that God can keep on blessing even when somebody's gone. Number two, that God doesn't need you and he doesn't need me. Amen. Aren't you glad that it didn't end once Abraham died? Here's what God is saying. Isaac, I'm still here. I'm still moving. You know what I did before? I can do it again. And by the way, if we're going to get America back to God, if we're going to reach people in these last days, if evangelism is going to be something of practicality and not just something of the past, then the men and women and boys and girls that are still alive today must claim by faith that the God that did it before. And by the way, I'm glad that God didn't stop working at the end of Revelation 22. I'm glad that although we are not main characters in the canon of scripture, that this is our time, this is our day, and this is our opportunity. Yes, he parted the Red Sea. Yes, he wrote on those tables of stone. Yes, he got Daniel to the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out the fiery furnace. Yes, he called John the Baptist. Yes, he used Peter at Pentecost. Yes, he turned Paul's life around. Yes, he gave John the revelation on the Isle of Patmos after he'd been boiled in oil. And yes, the Bible is complete and it cannot be improved. But I'm glad today in 2018 with a wicked world that Jehovah God is still blessing. And don't you ever think that the work can't go on without you. And don't you ever, ever accept the fact that the work ends with somebody else. I remember as a boy surrendering to preach and dreaming about preaching and then dreaming about pastoring and never knowing when it would happen. And as I got older, experiencing the fire of God in my heart burning for people and to pastor a church. And the closer I got to it, the more I wanted to do it. And then the closer I got to it, the more I thought, how am I going to do it? You know, one of the most dream-like realities is pastoring a church. One of the most daunting realities is assuming the pastorate after a great pastor. And in your mind, here's everything goes in your mind. Well, how am I going to fill those shoes? And what is God going to do? I remember saying amen. I remember shouting for the preaching of the word of God. I remember going to the altar and feeling like the Bible so practical, so real, so awesome. And witnessing as a church member the moving of God from the preaching of the word of God that's been given to the man of God through the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And then that day came where I wasn't there, I was here, and that thought in my mind, God, what you did before, will you do it again? And it's been a joy these last 7 going on 8 years to witness that it wasn't him and it's not me. It isn't buildings and movements and methodology and ideology and talent and charisma and humor and skill. My friend, it always was and it always will be the moving and the power and the credibility ability and the capable spirit of God that gets the job done. He just needs somebody through whom to do it. May God help us not to witness in this day and age a generation of kids whose parents were blessed by God and yet they fail to keep the show going on. God bless Isaac. And by the way, God has blessed this church. Let's not sit here on a Wednesday night and think that people show up on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and open their Bibles to the book of Genesis and study passages of scripture that some people in church for 40 years never studied. Let's not think that all of us just ended up here today because at about 4 o'clock we said, oh, what are we going to do? I think we'll go down to that church named Crossroads at 5811 Hoffman's Lane and sit down at 7 o'clock and maybe we'll just stumble onto Genesis. Can I tell you, there's a lot that happened 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years ago that made tonight a possibility. Somebody had to listen to the Spirit of God. Somebody had to say yes to the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Somebody had to say yes to salvation, yes to Jesus and put his faith and trust in Christ. Somebody had to repent of his sins. And along the way, you and I are here today, tonight, because along life's journey, we said yes and yes and yes and yes and yes. When we get up and say, I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. That's not just a song. That's an experience that God has proven to be productive and always reap worthy every time. I'm glad I said yes 20 years ago, yes 10 years ago, yes 5 years ago, yes yesterday. And I'm glad I'm saying yes today. I'm just simply saying somebody did it then so you could do it now. Now you do it now so somebody can do it later. Isaac, tag, you're it. You young people, you better cherish Wednesday nights at 8:03. That's right. Because there's coming a day 10 years from now, instead of being told to sit up and be quiet, you're going to be telling somebody else to sit up and be quiet. And you're going to appreciate telling them then by doing it now. Is anybody listening to me? Church member, I'm saying you better watch God moving in this place. You better get a kick out of God healing your brother and sister in Christ. Because 5 years from now, tag, it might be your turn. You better watch God take somebody through the valley of the shadow of death with no fear because they know that God is with them, because one day you might have to travail that same valley. You better believe God when it's not your burden, when it's not your trial, and it's not your test, because somebody serving God today that you admire will be gone tomorrow. But when they're gone, God is still here. And the show must go on. There's continued prosperity, the past event, the present encouragement, the particular environment for Isaac. God gives us. He dwelt in Lahairoi. God's setting the scene. There's a new sheriff in town, is there? we're getting ready to talk about somebody else. And there's coming a day, young people, when Crossroads Baptist Church will be a lot of talk about you. And let's hope that the same pure receptacle that your parents represented to receive the blessings of God, you will too. Not just for the children, for all of us. For all of us. Let's hope that God's favor can transfer our direction when the time comes. The last thing I would want to do is for the windows of heaven to be open for my parents and shut for me. And rest assured, the God who wants to pour them out will shut them down if the receptacle to whom he has to pour it ain't worthy. You ready, Isaac? Yes, sir. Continued prosperity. Number two, why don't you write this down? There's a concise prosperity that now that God's going to give us. Well, what about Ishmael? Because I'm here to tell you, we're going to spend the next several chapters, we're going to talk about Isaac, and we're not going to really focus on Ishmael, because Ishmael is not where God ordained his promise to go through. And yet the favor of God, the justice of God, come on now, the love of God, the root for the underdog God, said, Ishmael, you're here because your mama messed up at the advice of Abraham, and I hate to bust your bubble, you didn't ask for it, but you entered into an identity that's not going to run down the fast lane like Isaac. However, I'm a loving God who recognizes it's not your fault, and I'm going to still make sure you're not only taken care of, but you're mentioned in Scripture. And so let's talk about you, Ishmael. Not for long, but at least for a little while. And Ishmael, the Bible says, these are the generations. Write down about Ishmael. He has reproduced descendants. This is this concise posterity God's going to give us. God's going to take the time to list the names of Ishmael's children when Ishmael's identity was the result of disobedience. Listen to me. I think some of you ought to say amen, because you're going to find some areas of your life that look real Ishmaelish. You understand me? Come on. Now listen to me. And listen. And none of your Isaac-ness is going to be able to erase your Ishmaelishness. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to look in our lives and see stuff that exists because of our disobedience. And yet, although it exists because of our disobedience, it would be wrong to get rid of it now. Come on, you're in something that you shouldn't have been in, but you're in it, and now you got to be a proper steward of it. That's where Abraham fell. And now he's got Ishmael. And Abraham's dead. And Isaac is going to take the baton. Listen to me now. The story doesn't allow for two batons. There's one baton. And by the way, it's not a surprise to Ishmael that he's not going to get the baton. But aren't you glad that the will of God finds a place for people even when they can't take the baton? And some of you are here today because God found a spot for you on the team even when you couldn't start. And he took care of you and he looked out for you. Yeah, come on now. Aren't you glad that even when you don't have a car, God can find a way to get you to church? Aren't you glad even when you didn't necessarily have a great first marriage that God can still find a way to use you? Aren't you glad when your sin put you in a situation that you wouldn't have liked to be in if you could do it over, that God still looked out for you? Aren't you glad that God takes care of people on the backside of the desert, way in the slums of town, across the tracks where nobody wants to go? Aren't you glad that meandering his way in the suburbs of the will of God is Ishmael, off the beaten path, way off the radar, doesn't get much media time, but God said you may not be on prime time, but you're still taken care of by God. Let's talk about your kids, Ishmael. Reproduced descendants. Look at the verse. And their names, these are the names of the sons according to their generation. And then he names them. Notice their rich distinction. After all those names, 13, 14, 15, that we read, these are the sons and their names. Look at what they're listed as. By towns, castles, princes of nations. Whew. Here's what he's saying. Hey, there's no room for you in the covenant, but my blessings are deep and wide enough they can still make you rich. We're not going to even spend the rest of the Bible talking about you when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're going to take some time in Genesis 25 to make sure people of God for all generations know Ishmael didn't make the covenant, but he didn't move outside of God's compassion. Thank the Lord for God's compassion. Amen. Listen to me. Here's what God is saying. You cannot avoid the consequences of your actions. Your sin will find you out and you will reap what you sow. But the mercy of God is so everlasting and long-suffering that although he cannot wipe away the consequences of your sin, his compassion can make sure that those consequences don't annihilate you. He'll make sure that you're taken care of. What a God. Every time you make a mistake and live the consequences of it, thank God that your consequences are coupled with God's compassion, because compassion is the life jacket that keeps us from drowning when the billows of our consequences should take us down. Riches. You remember God promised Abraham, he promised chapter 16, verse 10, chapter 17, verse 20, chapter 21, verse 13. He promised Hagar, he promised Abraham, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to multiply him. I'm going to make him great. Thank God that he doesn't just bless one kind of people in one place. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, there are people even tonight who, as sincerely as they know how, are sitting in churches that are not even as doctrinally sound as they should be. But those people are there because they don't know any better. And I want to tell you that that little God that you think is your, that you're his pet, a teacher's pet, and that only blesses you because you're an independent fundamental Baptist that dots your I's and crosses your T's. I want to tell you something. You don't have a corner on God. He blesses people that you don't even think line up as high as you line up. And it's a reminder to let you know you don't even line up as high as you think you line up. So sometimes you need to break out of your little elite box and understand that your little bubble that you live in, that you think everybody else needs to get great enough to live in with you, is not the only place God blesses. And there's some people in another country down the road that don't know what an independent Baptist is, but by the grace of God, they're living the Bible as best as they can. And I want to tell you something. They're going to wake up tomorrow with food in their refrigerator and with a roof over their head and clothes over their back. And it ain't because they know what transubstantiation is and they can give you the sign gift and they can tell you why the King James Bible comes from the Textus Receptus. It's simply because when they didn't know better, God took care of them and brought them to a place where even where they feel like they're second rate, God takes care of. What a God. What a God. The recorded death of Ishmael. And God's going to record it. Look what the scripture says. Ishmael died 137 years. He gave up the ghost and died. And then the Bible gives us a remarkable dwelling place of Ishmael. Look where his people dwelt. The Bible said they were gathered. Look where they dwelt. Havilah and Deshur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. These people flooded an area between Egypt and Assyria known as Arabia, which was a pretty broad area. Come on. they didn't turn out representing those Jews that the Bible's going to talk about for the rest of the Bible. But they made out pretty good. That's mercy, folks. That's the reason why you're still here, the reason why I'm still here after more blunders than we care to recall is because even when we messed up way beyond where we should be survivors, God's mercy made sure we made out pretty good. So the next time you think your wife is blessed to have you, recall your mistakes of the past and tell yourself you're blessed to have her. Because if you got what you deserve, you not only would be dead, God wouldn't have taken the time to record it. He didn't have to. He could have said, Ishmael, you're outside of the bubble of my covenant. So we're not going to even mention you, but he did. The resulting differences, though. Go back for just a second. This is where I'll close, and I'll get into Isaac next week. Won't you go back to verse 8? Moreover, look at 7, would you? The days and the years of the life of Abraham, which he lived, 103 years. That's 175 years, right? But then Abraham did what? Verse 8? Gave up the ghost and died what? Good old age. And what? What else? Full of years. Was gathered to his people. Amen, right? Look at Ishmael's death, would you? The Bible said Ishmael, verse 17, years of his life, 137. That's not bad, right? I mean, it's not like God could have said, hey, I give Abraham 175, I'm going to give you 50. He still gave him 137. It's pretty, listen, pretty generous, isn't it? Amen. Next time you complain to God, instead of complain, consider what you deserve. He's pretty generous. I don't know why I don't got more money. You should have less. I don't know why I'm so sick. You should be sicker. Come on. We're not for the grace of God. 137 is pretty good for being the result of disobedience that stepped outside of the will of God when you knew better. Come on now. A whole bunch of us have made mistakes that are not mistakes of ignorance. They're mistakes of intentionality. We knew better. James 4. We did wrong. We knew it was wrong. It was sin. And we're still alive. God's been pretty generous. But listen to the difference here. Gave up the ghost. For Abraham, he said, died in a good old age, an old man full of years. For Ishmael, he said, gave up the ghost and died. Here's what God's saying. There are perks and benefits for being in the covenant. And I do bless obedience. Now listen to me now. Because I don't want you to get overwhelmingly comfortable with Ishmael's honorable mention in this passage, that it lulls you and numbs you to sleep, that sin still matters. Because God still took care of him, God still blessed his family, and God still made something great of him. But making something great of yourself because of God in the permissive will of God is no comparison than being great for God in the perfect will of God. Listen to me now. Just because you survive doesn't mean you thrive. Abraham died a good old age, full of years. And by the way, that's not a number. That's an experience. You die at 25 in the will of God, you die a good old age full of life. If you die at 95 living for the devil, you don't die a good old age full of life. Live for God. Live for God. So that when you come to the end, it's a good end. I looked at that funeral today on television. You know, they will be talking about you when you go. And I thought, what a wonderful thing when a father passes away that the whole family can say good things about a daddy. And some of you are so intent on practicing what you're going to say when somebody's gone, you don't spend any time living right so someone won't have to practice what he says when you're gone. I'll give you one more thought. This is just a little thing that I saw in studying today. that was interesting. There are three sons of Ishmael listed. God has a way of teaching in a kind of roundabout way sometimes. Somebody say amen. Sometimes you get hit with something that you weren't expecting. In the middle of these sons of Ishmael, verse 14, God gives us a message, at least I think. He lists three sons together in this verse, Mishma, Duma, and Massa. Let me give you the meanings of these names, and this is where we'll close. God is teaching us, daddy's gone, but he's got some sons left, and God's teaching us through their names. Mishma means to hear. Duma means to keep silence. And Massa means to bear a burden. Mishma means to hear. Duma means to keep silence. And Massa means to bear. And God puts it through the Holy Spirit and Moses' pen in verse 14 as three sons of Ishmael. One hears, one keeps silence, and one bears. Well, I thought Ishmael wasn't highlighted and God wasn't doing much with him. Well, I just want to give you a little thought that God gave under the radar. Hear, keep silence, and bear. James 1:19 puts it this way. My beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This brother is around the corner and not on the main drag of God's will. But I think God is saying something to us through Ishmael, even though he wasn't the chosen one. And he's saying it through the names of three kids. Even in Genesis, God's saying there is a principle that the people of God need to learn now, way before they get to James. Learn how to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Hear, keep silence, and bear. Maybe tonight, God is working something in your life that doesn't necessarily feel like it's the main way you would have it go. Here's what God is saying to you through these three sons. Be ready to listen and not always ready to talk. And don't be so quick to get angry. Why? Because even when you think who was keeping it going is gone, God is still here. And the show must go on. Our Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to understand you work how you choose to work. And sometimes it's in a roundabout way. There are moments where we feel like we're right in Isaac's lane, and other times we feel like we're in Ishmael's lane. I understand that the context of this passage of Scripture is a one time. But there are great principles for us to learn at all times. You're working. You're working even when it's behind the scenes. Help us to align ourselves with your work and to realize it's never about us. It's always about you. In Jesus' name, amen.